Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland, so welcome back to the channel yet again. I'm commenting on the current situation with the Russo-Ukrainian war, which has now been going on for goodness, how many days? I rather forget. It's something incredible. It's about 600 days, but so we're coming up to 2 years. We're like 1 year and three quarters, thereabouts. But anyway, a Ukrainian general published an article in The Economist, a rather astonishing article, Valery Zaluzhny, the most senior general of the Ukrainian army, saying the war is at a stalemate. You think he'd be done for insubordination, because that's obviously deeply unhelpful to the Ukrainian cause for him to say that, even though it's true. Because the Ukrainians have gained, I think, only 16 kilometers, according to him, at the deepest point of penetration. I mean, I thought it was a bit more, and then been pushed back in some places since this June counteroffensive started. And here we are in November. So by the end of the month, it's going to be largely over because the weather will have closed in. It's raining so much. It's so muddy. Then the snow will start to fall. And yes, you can move forward when it's snowy, but it's more difficult. It's slower. Rapid advances in midwinter are rare in that part of the world. So they'll be bedding down for the winter. And so it'll just be a slogging match in the mud. And then it's just really about artillery duels through the winter. So he says that neither side can achieve a decisive advantage unless they get new technology. Well, I suppose that's the big caveat, unless, so therefore give it, NATO, if you want Ukraine to win. So he tacitly acknowledged the counteroffensive has failed because its probable objective this year was to reach the Sea of Azov, thereby break the land corridor between Russia and and Crimea, making Russia more dependent on the Kerch Strait Bridge, which would then be at range, take that out. And actually, missiles could have been supplied even before the war, so Ukraine could take that on day one of the war. So the Occident has been very behindhand in not helping the Ukrainians in this regard. So Zaluzhny says they need long-term aid. And what he said, I think, is brutally frank. I don't doubt a word of it, actually. I mean, he would know. But in some of it's rather unhelpful to his cause, because some Western politicians faced with a binary choice is either fund the Ukraine an awful lot more, provoke Russia an awful lot more by providing this weaponry, or see Ukraine lose. Some will say, well, have Ukraine lose then. I mean, because if there's some sort of peace deal where Russia gets away with its crimes, that's a loss for Ukraine, a loss of territory, a loss of various other things. I say provoke Russia. Obviously, it's not provocative. Russia's provocative. But in Moscow's mind, this is provocation, because there's nothing provocative about enabling a sovereign state to defend itself. And it's Ukraine is under attack. Ukraine is subject to this unprovoked and illegal invasion. Anyway, so Zaluzhny correctly states that attritional warfare favors Russia because, of course, they outnumber Ukraine 3.5 to 1 in population. And he said Russia also has an advantage in terms of jamming technology, jamming drones and communications and so on. So you think the Ukrainians would need to up their game on that one or just be given more sophisticated technology to jam the Russian communications? They said they have some success jamming them, but not as much as the Russians have jamming the Ukrainian ones, the navigation systems on drones and things like that. Those can be interfered with. So sabotage like that. So Russia is increasing its military production at a frightening rate. And then Western nations are not keeping pace. You know, Russia bumping up its military budget 70% for the forthcoming financial year. Now, some of that is because they've got to pay more soldiers. They've got hazardous combat duty pay, things like that, and replacing lost equipment. But nevertheless, they're still going to have a bit more of everything than they do now. Now, they can't produce it overnight. For all this stuff to be produced, it's going to take a couple of years. They do have labor shortages as well, not enough skilled workers, because to be one of these machine toolists in a tank factory or something, that takes at least several months to learn. And there's a bit of a demographic crisis of, you know, fewer and fewer babies born since the 90s, emigration, is sort of a brain drain. So a lot of the intelligentsia leaving, and Putin has thought this is a good news, because that's a way of letting off steam. That's that pressure valve opened, and the liberal intellectuals will depart the country, and he'll say good riddance, because they're the potential leaders of a protest movement. Anyway, some Republican politicians in the United States, they cited Zaluzhny's remarks as a reason to reduce aid to the Ukraine. Some want to cut it off altogether. And a frightening number of contenders to the Republican nomination want to do that. So the United States Congress is currently debating this $106 billion aid package for Israel and Ukraine. So Biden's trying to tie these together to make sure Ukraine gets something. But of course, you know, the US Congress will do almost anything for Israel. Say, oh, we have to give more to Israel, blah, 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 even though Israel is actually quite a rich country. Israel's got its own very advanced military industries and so on. And Israel's actually done nothing for the United States. They've never sent a single soldier to a single war the USA has ever fought. Ukraine sent soldiers to Afghanistan and to Iraq to assist the United States. But the president of Belarus, Alexander Lukashenko, he came out saying there ought to be talks. Now, that's fascinating. Presumably, he's got some sort of permission to do this because Putin's got him over the over a barrel. Obviously, he desperately needs Russian financial aid because of these NATO and EU sanctions. Well, so not NATO, European Union sanctions, American and Canadian sanctions, and so forth. So not all NATO countries are sanctioning him, like Turkey's not, for instance, but he hardly trades with Turkey anyway. So presumably Putin wants to use him as a back channel like that. But there may be even a limit to how far Russia can push Belarus because they might say, well, we desperately need your help. Come on, you've got to make war in Ukraine. I mean, even Russia's not declared war. Now, the Ukrainians did claim that a few Belarusian units participated in the very early days. I don't know if that's true or not. Certainly, Russian forces in Belarus, they invaded from Belarus into northern Ukraine. And Lukashenko even affirmed that he was sort of phoned up at 5 a.m. that morning or whatever and told to Putin this is going ahead. And Lukashenko said, right, good luck. Why not strong arm into invading Ukraine himself? And people say these armed forces are under-equipped. None of them have seen combat since the 1980s. A few grizzled veterans of Afghanistan still there in the high command. And this is very degraded and they would mutiny. I don't know if that's true. But then the former president of Russia, Dmitry Medvedev, what he said the other day is that Poland is hyper-aggressive and they're threatening Russia. This could end their statehood. Russia might attack NATO sites which are arming, training Ukrainians and so on. So all this talk of yet more illegal aggression, I mean, proof as if it were needed of Russia's extremely aggressive, dangerous tendencies of the Russian elite. Wow. Well, no, the only threat to Polish statehood is if Russia conquers Ukraine, because Poland will be one of their next targets. You know, Eastern Poland having been subjugated by Ukraine, Russia ages ago. And of course, the Poles used to be a mighty empire, even into the early modern period. They even took Moscow for one very briefly around 1613. So that's a sore point for them. So Medvedev's trying to exploit any differences within the European Union, saying that some EU states openly disdain Poland. I don't think that's true. So it's all very worrying. Bluster mostly, but Medvedev is a bit of an attack dog for the Putin regime. He'll say these crazy, blood-curdling things that Putin won't. Anyway, thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate on PayPal, and get all the articles behind the paywall. Okay, goodbye, everyone.